This morning I was thinking of different painters. Somehow or other I was thinking how I was thinking of Hieronymus Bosch and his lower worlds, which exist in various places. It exists in lower regions of the universe, or it exists in war zones on this planet. But then I was thinking of Van Gogh, right? And I was thinking about fields with so much sunshine, everything yellow and effulgent and colorful and beautiful, glitter and attractive and kind of a lot of passion. Then I was thinking of Salvador Dali, and I was thinking, okay, now we go into the mind and it sort of stretches this way and that way, and things go out of shape and they sort of, you know, wherever they go. And it's like the mind that goes here and there and everywhere. So I had my little excursion through the art gallery, and with that I was thinking about different worlds. Then I picked up some Vedic literature, and it described heavenly gardens. It described beautiful cities with wonderful parks and lakes, with swans and cranes and benches made of onyx, studded with jewels, a city surrounded by a decorated wall with carved marble gates and golden doors and peacocks and all kinds of wonderful creatures. Okay. There was one detail that said, in a Sanskrit verse, it said, "There, ladies, their bodies were warm in the winter and cool in the summer." Anyway, it was there, what can I say? Yeah. Ancient texts sometimes have their surprises. But whatever it was a beautiful realm. But yet, there also, there was some anxiety, because there were demoniac forces that sometimes would interrupt the peace and all the pleasantries. That is also described. Of course, it is said that those kind of regions were attained after great sacrifice. No one could just get there, even with mechanical means. Not on one's own strength, but only on making great sacrifice to superior deities could one reach the higher reaches of the universe. But then, yeah, seeing that there was still anxiety, I was not convinced. Those hellish scenes of Hieronymus Bosch, that is intense, so leave that for what it is. The fields of France where Van Gogh painted. I know those fields in France. But then I left those fields and I went to India, and I sat at the bank of the Ganges and I was meditating there and thinking from, what shall I do? What should I do? I had traveled and traveled and traveled. And when you travel, it's sort of a way of buying time. You don't have to make the decision. You don't have to make a commitment when you travel. You just move around and you look at other people, what they do, but you yourself, you don't have to really make a choice. So postponing the choice. So I did that. because I just wasn't sure. So I sat north of Rishikesh in the quiet nature on the bank of the Ganges. There were colorful birds. There were black birds which had red under their wings. So when they would fly up, it was as if they caught on fire. It was like black birds, and then they would fly away, and suddenly it was like they went up in flames. It was very interesting. And I wondered what to do. Yes, I came. I left there also, as it was getting cold. And moved back on, back to the city with all its hustle and bustle, still wondering what I should do. And I cooked in a vegetarian restaurant for a while, since you gotta do something. And you know, it was not too bad. I cooked a few times a week. I got free meals and a free place to stay. No money. Anyway, but you know, when you got a free place to stay, nice little room, and you got your meals, well, then you got a lot covered. So life was simple like that, and I liked it. No commitment. I thought, why would I commit to so much complexity and then sign here? Just sign here, sir. And there as well. And there also. Yes, thank you. And then one more signature on the other side. Thank you very much. Okay. 40 years. Locked in. Payments. I wasn't so sure. I wasn't going to sign. I somehow or other saw horns on the heads of these people. And I thought, I don't know. I'm not sure what they want me to sign here. No, I didn't sign. All right. Here and there and everywhere. Yes. But, and I tried many things. But, yeah. I wasn't free because for different reasons. One is what the world around me had imposed upon me or deposited in me or left in me. Childhood experiences. Locked in a basement, and I heard my finger as they closed the door, and they didn't believe it. That was like dark. Oh, dark memories. Yes, dark memories were there, and so many things, so many identities. This is what you want to be. No, it's not what I want to be. And this is also what you have to be. Oh, it's not me. In search of the real self. Oh. But even then, if we free ourselves more from social convention and impositions, then what? Oh. Then still we encounter our limits. The limits of my perception, the limits of my vision, the limits of my thought, the ceiling of my thought. And then what you've got in your mind and what you've got in your fingers. I thought about these things as I strummed the guitar. For 8 hours a day. But I thought, We should commit. When we commit, it should be with the heart. When we commit, it should be to something that we really believe in. Otherwise, why would I commit? What's the point? That was my thought. When I saw the paintings of Boss, right, I was appreciating the art, absolutely. And he has this trilogy, right, where, you know, the hellish regions and then the heavenly ones. And I like the heavenly ones better than the hellish ones, that was sure. All that suffering, I thought, no, I don't really want to be part of that. And I said, no war. But I fell in love, and then sometimes we had a war at home. That also happened. Yeah. So I realized that to avoid war is not just about a declaration of peace. Right? Sometimes the furniture starts flying, and then what you do? You see this vase, this is the vase that your auntie, you know, gave us. Yes, I see this vase, yes, the one that my auntie gave. Well, you know what I'm going to do with your auntie's vase? Zing! You did that to my auntie's vase. And the play continues. Not what to say, you know. At one point you say, is it worth it? Is this love? Right? You sort of wonder, is this love? Or what is it actually? What are we having here? What are we doing? We got together in the name of love, and then it turned into like a major war zone. And, you know, helmets to be worn at any time. You're never sure what can happen. I thought, I don't know. So again, I wandered away into the woods. And again, I wondered, what do I do now? What's next? Not knowing. Feeling empty. Looking for something. But that river Ganges, that attracted me. I came there once, and people were doing so many things. There were priests that were doing rituals with different colors of powder, and people were moving things, paraphernalia around, and then flames were lit, and smoke, and things, and I saw all these things, and many more. And I thought I should read. I thought maybe knowledge will help me to grasp better what to do. So I got lots of books, especially about the East. Vedas, Ramayana, Mahabharata, Tibetan Book of the Dead, right? All these things. I read the Sufis. I read many things. But yeah, one day I was sitting at a fireplace with one of these big glasses, right, with that brown drink in it. And speaking high philosophy in a nice comfortable armchair. And I realized I have become an armchair philosopher. My God. You know, could get the t-shirt. Armchair philosopher. Old theory. All up here, all in the head, but what is in the heart? Ah, gosh, back to square one. There is that game, you know, like you play as a kid where you throw the dice and then there's a board and then you have the pieces that walk on the board and then someone else gets to throw and they can kick your pieces off the board. What's that called in English? You know the game? The piece goes on the board. One, I throw five steps. Okay, then my brother throws and then three steps. He's right behind me. Okay, I throw five, I'm ahead of him. And then he overtakes me, and then if he gets the number right, then he can kick me off.
Trouble.
Is that what it's called?
Snake
Ludo.
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 Yeah. Oh God, I hated that game. No, you could get a long way ahead, right, in that game. You get a long way ahead, and then at the end, bang, they kick you off, and it would start again. And my life was exactly that game. Exactly. I started and then I got kicked off the board. And then I had to start all over. Okay, what do I do now each time? It's still happening to me somehow or other. But I don't worry about it anymore because what happened was I stopped caring about the board. And you know, what's this board anyway? I'm here only for a while, you know, as long as I go around, right? As long as the game is on, and at the end, we go back in the box. So, you know, why would I worry so much about the game? So it's not about the game. It's just a game. Don't take it so serious. My mother used to say, because I used to take it very serious, don't take it so serious. Sometimes you win, sometimes you lose. But he always wins and I always lose. It was like that. I don't know why. No, forget the board. Oh. Something deeper, something constant, that's what came over time. After reading all those books, after sitting at the Ganges, you see that Ganges is a river and it just flows and flows and flows. And I'm anyway from the coast, I'm from the Netherlands, lots of coasts, so I grew up with the ocean, which is also so timeless. So timelessness came to the foreground. So forget the board, forget the game. Just look at the bigger picture. And then I read the Bhagavad Gita, and the whole message was that in the first chapter there is a battlefield, and somehow or other, Arjuna is the hero of the story, and his family is divided over two armies. So it's a crazy situation. Imagine, you know, you're in a battlefield. You don't want to be there in the first place, but you're there. And your family, half is on one side and half is on the other side. And you're supposed to fight. And he's looking, and his grandfather is on the other side, and his teacher, who really gave him a lot, was there, all that, you know. So he's like, too much, you know. I'm not going to fight. Forget it. I'm not fighting here. And then he's in a state of despair, naturally. Who wouldn't be? And then what happens is, then there is a message, and that message is the bigger picture. The bigger picture. Look at the bigger picture. Don't look at this small little board, you know, where things are moving around. Look at what stays, the eternal, the bigger picture. And that is the... So when I kind of read that in the Bhagavad Gita, I was smoking cigarettes in those days, a crazy thing to do, but I did it, you know. And I was blowing rings through rings. I was good at it, like a fish. Rings through rings, as I was reading the Bhagavad Gita, saying, I know all of this. In a sense, I knew it, but maybe not completely. There is knowing, and there is knowing. There's a deeper level of knowing. There is knowing about something, and there is something about making it your own that I hadn't done.
So I realized,
I saw myself for a moment, right? I saw that picture of myself blowing rings of smoke through rings of smoke, and I thought, this is a funny picture, actually. Right? For a moment, I watched myself, and I thought, this is a joke. And so, I thought, yeah, if I really know something, then I should make it my own. So, from that day on, I tried to look at the bigger picture. Still trying, you know, I mean, not saying that I'm there, but it's become a priority now. And the kirtan is part of that bigger picture. It's not part of this this world. And we are singing, we are, you know, different rhythms, and like, you know, good guitarist, hot drummer from Mauritius, and, you know, my good friend from Germany. We're an international band here. You don't get them like that every day in such a small place. You know, special performance for you. And you yourself were like singing like angels, and that sort of made the whole thing. If it would have just been the band, would have been dry. You know, band on stage, people sort of looking and chatting, and band on stage, it's sterile, it's empty. That doesn't satisfy. So it's wonderful that we can do something which is all inclusive, where we can all just give our input, and that all together produces an experience, something unique. Yeah? Kirtan is not something you can reproduce. Yeah, the tune, we've done the tune before, but we don't always know where it's going to go. Yeah? It's like, it's who you're with that makes the experience, and that is living, right? To really be with people. So kirtan is very nice because it is our product. Right? No one's excluded. It's not like a few wallflowers and like a few guys who do all the action. No, everyone's doing it. And everyone, and we, for once, we just chant. We chant a mantra. Takes us to the bigger world, the world of Krishna, and there we it is constant. So it just as the mind comes to peace, you know, instead of all these impressions. I used to sail on the ocean. I used to, I'm Dutch after all, and you know, I had a yacht my grandmother gave, and would sail on the ocean. And I liked it because the ocean looked like my mind. And then I'd go out away from the land with all the commotion, and things would just be empty and peaceful. And my mind would also become empty. I'd come back, you know, after 4 or 5 hours, and mind empty, totally relieved from all the stress. So it was good. But we did that in another way, with our kirtan. We went to the spiritual plane and just left the world of phones for a little while. And then on the spiritual plane, yeah, then we connected with the positive experience of the spiritual world. The heavenly regions, which I described, which you can attain through austerity, offer us great, great opulence and wonderful life. But the spiritual reason, but there was still anxiety there. in the spiritual regions, no anxiety. So the mantra takes us to that level, the no anxiety level, in Sanskrit called Vaikuntha. So Vaikuntha is physically, we may not be in Vaikuntha, but if internally we can be in Vaikuntha, if internally we can be in a space of no anxiety, that's perfect. Then we are strong. What can touch us then? So, these days, I'm thinking about those things. Anyway, thinking, it's going on. So much thinking. But nice thinking. I kind of like this thinking. Better than the paintings of your own response. Although, beautiful art, but scary also. No, let her think of the world of no anxiety. Okay, that's my story. I thank you for being with us the evening, or for having me here. It's your place. I'm a visitor. And nice place. A corner of Melbourne where I've never been. Next to the style place on the corner. Pretty stylish. Some graffiti on the wall. Nice. Nice that this little place is.